Welcome back to the All Figured Out podcast. I'm Andrea Barr. Thanks for joining me again this week. I'm super excited, as always, by our guest this week. She goes by the name of Dr. Cherith Fluker. She is from Alabama in the States. She is an absolutely incredible woman, and I'm so excited to be bringing you her wisdom and comfort and guidance. It just feels like in this episode, she's just giving us all who are in the trenches of having little ones a big hug and saying, it's going to be okay. And here are some ideas for how to get through these years. Cherith Fluker is a freelance writer. She's a blogger. She's an ed tech professional. And she also holds a bachelor's in English from Auburn University. And she also has a doctorate in educational leadership from Samford University. She has a blog called What Cherith Thinks, and she channels her passion for self-care, and she's even gotten into travel blogging on her blog there. Her work really reflects her commitment to inspiring others to just embrace life's journey with adventure and well-being. She has two grown children herself. She talks about how she graduated from university and was pregnant, and so she started young, and she sounds like she's just been an absolutely incredible mother along the way. She has writing that's been featured in publications you've probably heard of, such as Chicken Soup for the Soul, Motherly, Birmingham Mom Collective, and Dollywood Insiders, which is amazing. In this episode, we talk about so many different things. We talk about the educational system, what you can do to prepare for kids who are going into school, what you can do when your kids might have friends that aren't great or you don't approve of. She talks about what it's like to be an empty nester. She talks about the career pivots that she's had along the way. She talks about just going through the stages and phases of being a parent and as well being a partner. She has a husband who she's been married to for, I think she said 26 years, which is absolutely incredible. And she's just so inspiring. This is a conversation where she is talking to me as if I'm a friend and she's imparting wisdom and love on somebody who is totally in the trenches with little children, and she's just got such incredible advice. Because partly she was in the educational world for so long, she knows so much about young kids, but she also has grown children. So it's just a really cool episode. I absolutely loved chatting with her, and I hope you enjoy. You're listening to the All Figured Out podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Barr. As a career coach for parents, a mom, an entrepreneur, and someone who spent 10 plus years in the corporate world, I still don't have it all figured out. And maybe you don't either. In this podcast, I'll share tools and strategies that I use with my clients. And in the many areas where I don't have things figured out, I'll be bringing you some amazing guest experts to help us fill in the gaps. So tune in each week as we explore how to make career and life decisions that truly work for you, your family, and your big goals. Let's make moves. Dr. Cherith Fluker, thank you so much for joining me on the All Figured Out podcast. I so appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much, Andrea.
Well, I am so excited to dive on into everything. We're going to be talking a lot about, we were just talking about how it'll be a really cool conversation where I have young children, you have older children, although you don't look like you should have older children. Which you probably get all the time. And I know you were young when you had kids.
Yes.
But it'll be really cool for you to just impart wisdom on myself and those who are listening who have the younger kids and all that. But before we get into all the good stuff around that, I know it's a topic you love to talk about. Tell me, you have a really awesome career history that you have gone through. You are in a different stage and phase within your career now, I know.
Yes.
But where did you start your career and how did you end up where you are?
Okay, so I started out as a high school English teacher, taught English. I've been in education for 19 years in a lot of different capacities and roles. I started out as a teacher, taught for several years, about 11 years, and then I became an instructional coach. And then I transitioned to being an assistant principal. And then my very last role in public education was as a 504 specialist for a school district. So, as I was doing that, I also taught part-time. If you know any teachers, you know a lot of teachers have part-time jobs. So one of my side hustles was teaching writing at the junior college. So I feel like I have been in all aspects of education. And so when my children graduated and moved out, I decided that I wanted to transition to a different role. So I'd left public education after 19 years and transitioned to working for a private company that is an ed tech company that we sell products and services to schools all over the United States. So I'm excited about that. I still kind of get to have my hand in the education space, but just in a different capacity. So I still get to go to schools and meet with teachers and work with school districts all over. So it's just fun to be able to travel to different school districts and see what school looks like in other places. And spoiler alert, school is school no matter where you are. So it's always interesting to see different perspectives and hear teachers with, you know, having some of the same struggles and, you know, It's really interesting. I like it a lot. And I love being able to still be in my kind of comfort zone, but also outside of my comfort zone.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. So you feel like an auntie where you just got to kind of go in and be like, oh, this is, it's like when you're like the aunt comes to visit. I say aunt usually, or auntie comes in to visit and they get to stay for the day and then they get to leave.
Yes, that is the nice part. I don't get to, and I guess a sad part about it too is I don't make those connections because I still have like really close connections to a lot of my students because, you know, they're now adults and I get to see them living out their dreams. I was actually just speaking to a student of mine, a former student of mine just the other day. And she was talking about how she remembered writing an essay about becoming a nurse practitioner and she's about to graduate as a nurse practitioner. So I love that and I miss having those connections. So I'm glad that I'm still able to be able to connect with some of my students.
Oh my goodness. And do they still call you Mrs. Fluker?
Oh, they do. They do.
Till the day dies.
Yeah. And so also another interesting thing about my career is that when I became a when I started working in the ed tech space, I also decided to, I call it after a series of unfortunate events. It was when my children passed away. I'm sorry, not when my children, my parents passed away. And that was like on the heels of my children moving away to college. So all of that happened in a short span in my life. And so I was looking for a way to kind of deal with that and, you know, going through therapy and everything. We kind of talked about some of the things that I loved and that could bring me joy. And that was my writing. And I had taught writing for so long, but I never thought about actually doing the writing myself. So I started a blog during the pandemic. And it started out, like I said, just kind of a hobby passion project, but it has now turned into a full on side hustle. I'm doing blogging, freelance writing, travel writing, just being able to explore a lot of things that I probably wouldn't have been able to do in this way when my kids were little. And it's nice to have them to cheer me on. And it's also nice to have them to support me in following my dreams. So they're chasing their dreams. I'm doing something that I really love or that would have been a little bit more challenging for me to do because I do know some bloggers and travel writers who are very successful with small ones, but they just have to move in a different way. So, you know, I kind of prioritized being there for my kids. And I feel like my teaching job was perfect for that time. I was able to be there for them and, you know, be home with them when they were home from school because they went to school and I worked in the same school district for several years. So that was great. So,
yeah, I love that what you're kind of alluding to as well is just that the phases of your career, right? And
yes.
The phases of the parallel path with your children growing up and the different phases that you've had within your career and so accomplished. I mean, you've gone through so many different iterations and you went from being a teacher. And what is an instructional? I'm so curious. What is an instructional
coach?
Yeah.
So basically what I did was I coached teachers. I helped teachers. So if they needed extra support, if they wanted to work through strategies, I helped them find resources. Team teaching, sometimes I did that, just different, helping them with planning and organization. And for new teachers, that's really a passion of mine, even still, because I feel like it's so hard right there in the beginning to kind of find your way when you're a new teacher. So I really loved being able to dig in with the new teachers and just kind of think through things and kind of help them to kind of figure out how to make teaching work for them and how to be successful. Because if you don't grab them right there at the beginning, it's, you know, it's hard because you can feel like, I don't know what I'm doing. But I will tell you, I taught for 11 years and I probably left that classroom still learning things because by the time you think you have something, just like with parenting, you're always learning, you're always growing because you never know what you're going to be dealt. You never know what your clientele is going to come up with that day or what,
the little
or
clientele.
What you're going to face or your challenges. You never know that. You never know how things are going to affect them and how they need you. And my kids are so different. That's one thing that I have learned. You know, when I look back, their needs are different and I had to parent them different, even though you may think that, you know, parenting is kind of this one-stop shop. I'll read the book. I'll figure out how to do it. Totally not the case. Some of the things that work with my daughter didn't necessarily work with my son and vice versa. So that's been interesting to kind of look back on. And when I talked to my friends, because you said that I did have kids a little bit younger than some of my friends. So when I left college, I already had, or I was pregnant with my first child when I graduated from college. And so a lot of my college friends are just now in the like middle school phase and elementary phase of their kids' lives. And my kids are grown. So the nice thing about that is that I'm able to kind of shed some light on some of my experiences and talk through things and think through them, think through things with them. So that's been a nice, you know, kind of way to look at things and be able to be that support that I like to be for people.
Oh, it seems like that you take on that capacity in so many different roles in the different phases, like a mentor, a person who just really looks over other people and you just want to help and support other people. So
I feel like teaching is my thing. That. Yeah, that's what I was born to do. Like in every different phase or aspect of the life of my life, no matter what I'm doing, I feel like I'm always teaching and mentoring. And I also like to look and learn too. I learn from a lot of people and look at their experiences and try to grow from those.
I love that. Look and learn. That's such a good one. I've not heard it kind of put like that. That's such a, and that makes the best teacher is the person who's also willing to learn and grow. If you said, oh, I've got it all figured out, pun intended.
I like that. I got it.
thanks, Jareth. Then those aren't interesting people to learn from, right? It's like the person who's like, oh, I'm a parent and I've got it all figured out. I mean, especially sitting in your seat with grown children, you're probably like, So I know you're in Birmingham, Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you were just telling me some exciting news. Your son is going to be doing some higher education. He just got accepted to graduate program.
Yes, he just graduated with his bachelor's from Auburn University in December. And he is going to UAB to get a master's in biomedical sciences. And he is wanting to be in the medical profession in some capacity. UAB is a great school for our medicine. So I hope that he'll be able to get in there and make some connections. And I've tried to teach him about, like you said, looking, learning, meeting people, networking, how important it is. You know, the education aspect of it is great, but the connections are so much more in everything, not just in education, in life, you know, with friends and everything. So it's really cool. I say one thing about no matter what phase of life and where I've worked, I have made connections along the way and I'm still really good friends, you know, mentors, it's just nice to be able to, you know, have friendships and parenting friends that have spanned so many years and I've watched their kids grow up. And even with my own students, I've talked to, you know, their parents because I'm kind of one of those hands-on, like I'm going to stay in communication with the parents, let them know what's going on. And so even to just watch those kids grow up and be able to, you know, share with their parents about, you know, how I've seen them grow and share with them things like, oh, I remember your daughter said this in class and now it's coming to fruition. Or she said she wanted to do this and she's doing something totally different. It's so nice for them to find their way because, you know, as kids, we're kind of impressionable. Kids are a little bit. So if somebody's wanting to do this cool something, then maybe they want to try it too. But then, you know, I'm a big, big proponent of you try something, it doesn't work, try something else, you know?
Totally. It's trial and error.
Yeah.
Life.
Absolutely. That's what life is, right?
Mm-hmm. Jareth, can you come live in North Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, so that you can be this resource?
I don't need to do that. We have this wonderful network. But I do want to come to Vancouver, though. But, you know, we can certainly chat it up anytime.
Yes. Travel blog your way up here.
Yeah. I know that would be fun. But I love bouncing ideas off of people. It's a great way. It's a great way to get through life. You know, I've learned even thinking about when I lost my parents, I was really, really close to my parents, especially my mom. And so I really struggled when my mom passed away. And I have met so many people that I don't think it was by accident that I've met people who have had similar experiences, and I see them doing great things, and I see them dealing with their grief, and I see them just making it, is what I like to say. And so I think that those people are put in your place so that you could see that it's possible, that you don't have to kind of succumb to grief. You don't have to get over grief. Like, you just deal with it in the phases. So it's just nice. I mean, I just love being able to see how people, the part that they play in your life, and how sometimes it's not a all-out friendship, but that it's just, they have an assignment, is what I like to say. They have an assignment in your life. You know, you'll meet other moms and you'll see that, hey, my kids aren't the only one who's doing this, you know, or this is a challenge that other families have. I was talking to my friend the other day, and we were talking about a situation, and I said, we're all out here living the same life. You know, we all have similar struggles. Even when you look like you have it together, you don't always. All of us are just really good actresses and, you know, actors, and we know how to push on and go on and, you know, do the things that we need to do to take care of the people that we need to take care of and things in our life. So
yes,
it's just nice to be able to be real with people.
It is so true. Getting to have real conversations. And we're so much more time starved nowadays that I feel like I get into it. I think somebody said this on a podcast I was listening to recently, and they're like, you know, when I'm meeting with my friends, my girlfriends, we get right into it. It's not like, oh, the weather, that we're getting into it. And I love
Absolutely.
That. And I feel like, especially with mom friends or moms that I
yes.
know, you just have that connection, and that club that you're a
mm-hmm.
part of is just something
mm-hmm.
that I never, that community, you know, I mean, we're connecting here because we're both moms, and
right.
I'm in Vancouver, you're in Alabama. Like, how unbelievable
right.
is that? And it's just,
right.
yeah, we're all just in it. Like you said, we're all just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And okay, total left turn, but Cherith, I'm doing math here in my head. When did you get the doctor in front of your name? So you graduated with a baby on the way. How did you fit that in?
So it was a lot. I graduated with my bachelor's in 2001, and it was 2018 when I got my doctorate. Yeah.
Oh,
so that
gosh.
Was later on in my career, after, you know, after the busy, busy mom, like, you know, traveling to all the games and extracurricular. So it came later. But it was an accomplishment that I knew that I wanted from the start. And so I was really glad that I was able to do it. And I was very happy that I was able to do it while my parents were still alive, so they could celebrate that accomplishment with me. So that has made me very happy. And, you know, one thing that I have learned about that even though I have my doctorate and I've met, you know, this goal that I have, I'm still me. I'm still the same person. I don't feel like I'm any smarter because I did it, but it was a goal that I wanted, and I worked hard for it, and I appreciate it. And it has really led me into just knowing that I think the biggest thing was for my kids to be able to see me accomplish that goal and go after something. They heard me talk about it for years and years, and that has been nice. And the connections that I've made, and experiences that I've got to be a part of because of that, the tables that I've got to sit at and the conversations that I've got to have just because of, you know, that experience alone. And then the connections that I made there as well. But yeah, that happened in 2018. It's crazy.
Congratulations. That's unbelievable.
You.
A huge accomplishment. And I also love what you said about just your enrolling your children, and I imagine your husband and yourself within this goal, and wrapping it all up and saying, I have this goal and I'm going to do it for myself. I'm excited to share this with my children, with my parents, with my, you know, my husband.
Absolutely.
And I think that's really, sometimes it's not about, like for you, it sounds like it was coming from such an honest place where you're like,
mm-hmm.
hey, this is a goal I've always had, and I would like to do this.
Absolutely.
Versus the person who's like, oh, it's going to make me seem smarter. I'm going
right.
to get paid more, have more opportunities. And that might be the case. And
right.
those things are always present too, of course.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Yeah, sometimes it's just even those small goals that we set and then accomplishing them and being able to say, yes, I did it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I did it for me. And I am somebody who can accomplish goals that I set out to
right.
achieve.
And I also love that my kids got to see me pivot. I worked really hard for that goal. And then I kind of got to a place where being in public education wasn't a priority. It wasn't what I wanted to do anymore. And I didn't leave that space in like angst. Like, I was not angry. I was not. It was just time. And I just had a feeling. I knew it was time for me to, what I call, bet on me, which I thought was also important for my kids to be able to see. Like, just because you've done this work to get to this place doesn't mean that you can't pivot. So I kind of pivoted into a new role with my writing. You know, I've done that. And for them to see me balance it and for them to see me try something new and for me to put myself out there in a different way. I'm now pitching, you know, publications to see if I can get my writing in that. And I talk to them about the times when people say, no, this isn't quite a fit for me, or this isn't what I'm looking for. Your writing style isn't what I was looking for. And I don't let it stop me. I, you know, keep going. And so I think it's important for me to share those losses with them as well as the wins, so that they know that's what life is. It's just a steady up, down, up, down. So I like to be able to show them in addition to telling them.
Good one.
One of the
I
things
love that.
That I talked about, I just recently had an article published in Motherly, and it talked about having conversations with your teens. And one of the things that I say in that article is, if you have an opportunity to share with them some things, especially when they get older, that you did in your childhood, so they can see that you're not perfect, that you messed up, you know, it just kind of helps them to see that you're real, and that, you know, I feel like it just kind of helps them to open up when they talk to you, because they know that you can understand where they're coming from.
Okay.
You know, I talk to them about failed relationships. I talk to them about friendships that, you know, were not genuine friendships. I talk to them about my insecurities, so that they know that that is normal for a teenager to feel and normal for a person to feel. And that, you know, when they talk to me, I try to listen first, and I will ask them, you know, do you want my advice on that? Or did you just want to talk? Did you just need somebody? Because that's important. I think that if they come to you, and every time they come to you talking or asking questions or, you know, telling you how they feel, if you come back at them with, this is what I would do, or this is what, then they will shut down, unless that's what they were looking for. So I'm always very, very intentional about asking, like, now, was that just an FYI, or did you want my mom hat on?
What role do you
because
want me to play?
I'll do either one.
Yeah. Am I the educational consultant here?
Right.
Am I the principal of the house?
Right. Right.
That's a great. Oh, that is such a great point. Oh, my goodness. And congratulations about the Motherly article.
Thank
I know you.
You
were telling me about that when
yes.
we originally met.
Yes.
And I was going to bring it up to say, I know something big is coming for you. So that's
yeah.
huge. I
yeah,
know
I'm
I respect that
it.
Publication so much. They have such
yes.
amazing wisdom and people speaking.
It was also actually published this week. So the timing was perfect. I'm so
yes.
excited about it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll email you. I'll just look it up on Google. I'm
yeah.
sure it's there. But I will make sure I add that to the show notes so that everybody
All right.
can
Thank
read
you.
It. Because
yes.
I'd love to read it as well.
Yes.
What is the topic that you, so you blog, what is the topic that you find you like to talk about most and that resonates the most with people in your audience?
I feel like self-care is one that I love writing about for a couple of reasons. I think because it helps me, because that's something that I kind of, as a mom, struggled with. And I know a lot of moms struggle with, because we prioritize our family. We prioritize everything else that we have to do. So in my writing about self-care, I feel like I'm talking to myself, but I'm also helping people. I feel like my self-care pieces are the ones that I get the most inboxes about. People are like, oh, I needed that, or thank you for that. I feel like that's the one that the people want the most.
Yeah.
But I really love travel writing, and it's because I get to go to fun places and experience new things. And, you know, I kind of feel like the travel piece is self-care for me also, because I get to go places that I might not have otherwise explored if I didn't have, you know, an assignment or something to write about in that particular place. So I do like that. But I think that my favorite thing would be the self-care, because I think that in addition to helping myself, that I'm also helping so many other people.
Yes. I mean, I'd love to interview you all about how you got into travel writing, because I think that is goals.
Yeah, it is pretty fun. I didn't even realize it's a whole world out here. I love it. I'm still kind of a baby in the travel writing industry, but I'm learning more and I'm getting more opportunities. So I'm excited about that. I'm actually headed to Utah in a couple of weeks for a travel writing conference. So I'm excited about that. And I hope I come back with a whole bunch of information and new connections, and I'll be able to go a lot more to a lot more fun places. So,
oh my gosh, how fun is that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll save that for another day. And I'm
yeah.
excited to hear how that goes. Jareth, what advice would you give me or anyone who's listening who has small children? And we're totally in the really, really, like, we've got narrow vision, as you would remember.
Yeah.
You know, you're
uh-huh.
like, what's going to happen with sleep today? What are they going to eat
right.
today? Like, it's really hard to look to the future. It's really hard to look to even when my kids enter, you know, primary school or anything
right.
like that. But what advice would you give us, or would you have given yourself back when you were in our position to prepare for the different stages and phases that are coming up in life with children?
I think the biggest thing that I would say when I look back and I think about me and how uptight I was as a mom when I was had littles, because you just want them to be safe. You just want them. You just don't want anything to go wrong. You don't want them to be hurt. I think that I would say to worry less and enjoy the moments more because they go so fast. And I know it's cliche, but it's so for real. Like, I look back at pictures and I can remember my kids being so little. And you know, it seems like it was just yesterday. It really does. It goes by so fast. But I can remember those moments. And I just think about, instead of wasting so much time worrying, just be mom. Just enjoy being mom. And it took me a really long time to figure that out, because I was so much, you know, caught up in the, we got to do this, got to do that, instead of just kind of sitting down and sitting in the moment of their, you know, them being little. But when mine became seniors, one thing that I did was I enrolled the kids into this college prep program where they were able to, like, fill out college applications, scholarship applications, all of this. And I did that because I said, I just want to be mom. This is the last year that I'm going to have with them at home, because, you know, I want to be mom. I don't want to fight about college applications. I don't want to fight about scholarships. I just want to make memories. That's what I want to do. And so just, you know, finding ways to just enjoy the moment. It doesn't have to be that. I mean, thinking about when they're little, like I said, just being in the moment, being there for them, not trying to worry so much about what's next and not trying to be so perfect, because as moms, we do that to ourselves when the kids really don't care. They love mom, whether you're a good mom or whether you, I mean, really, you know, they don't care if you have a sandwich or a steak. They still love you. I mean,
they don't care at all.
No, and we worry about those things. And it's just, when I look back, I'm like, I would have worried less and just played more.
They enjoy the squishy belly. They're like, oh, more comfortable to lay on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. I have full body chills. You know what I think is so, what's so interesting about the idea to enroll your kids into college prep? I feel like that's an application we could take to all stages and phases. It's like, where might we outsource where possible? Like, where you know, if you're going to be investing money or resources or whatever it is into outsourcing different things, where might we do that so that we can, like, maximize our time as role as mom or dad or parent, whomever?
Mm-hmm.
How can we do that? It's like, I was just thinking about soccer. Like, our daughter's enrolled in soccer, and it's like just games and it's fun. But I'm like, you know, I cringe at the thought of the parents that we will one day encounter who are, like, trying to coach their kids from the sideline and stuff like that. And I'm like, they should take a page out of that. But just, you're hiring these people to coach your kids.
Yeah.
So let them play that role of coach, and then you can parent. Or I love that idea of, like, the college prep, that, like, they don't want to listen to their mom anyways, even though you are more qualified than the college prep people, for sure, and would be the best person to be counseling them. They don't want to. It's like learning to drive a car. Oh, my goodness, the fight to get in when you're learning to drive with your parents. Like, my mom was like, no, we will be hiring someone to take you on lessons
for
to
sure.
Drive.
I'm not talking back
to them. Yeah.
Yes. My kids definitely took driver's ed and all that. Yeah, that was for another reason, though. I don't think my nerves could handle it. But yeah, you're right. No. Then you just get to be, I mean, it's one less thing that you're fussing at them about, or, you know, I don't know.
It's so true. And to maybe worry less. I'm taking from that, like, to be honest, and I know you get this, like, I'm already worrying about things like friendships.
Yes.
And I have a daughter and a son, and I'm like, oh, how will they, you know, how will all those stereotypes about what happens on the playground play out for them? Like, what role will they be playing in, you know, kindness or bullying or anything like that?
Yes.
That keeps me up at night a little bit. And I'm like,
and you know
to
what?
Your
you
point, it's like, why?
Yes. And you need to worry about the things that you can control. You know, you can't control how those other kids are going to treat them, but you can teach yours not to be what they don't want to happen to them.
Ugh.
And just teaching them how to react to things. And again, letting them see you, how you interact with people and how you interact, because they're watching. I mean, they have a front row seat and they're watching when you, you know, get smart with the person in the drive-thru, or when you know, you just have to teach them, you have to model for them how they should be, how they should interact with people.
Yes, it's so true. Okay, so while we have you here, and so I can listen to this, you know, 5-10 years down the line and replay some of this, I need to get your advice on things. Okay, so say you have a child, and there's people who are listening who have kids in elementary school, middle school, but have you? So say this is the question that I know is on a lot of people's minds around, I've got a kid who has these friends who aren't great, or, you know, things are kind of a little like weird on the, they're playing weird games at school, or, you know, these kind of situations that, to your point, aren't in your control. What advice would you have on how you kind of navigate when they have their friend that you're not fully values aligned with, we'll say?
And it's so funny that you asked that. That is one of the questions that I ask in the article that I wrote, you know, ask, you know, having those conversations with them so that it's not like you're saying you don't need to be friends. You want them to think about who they're spending their time with. You want to ask them questions. How do you feel when you're hanging out with Andrea? Does Andrea ever say things to you that make you feel bad about yourself? Why would you want to be around someone that makes you feel bad about yourself? Do you make them feel bad about that? You know, you just want to have those, asking those questions that make them think. And I know it probably doesn't work with really little kids, but you could start having those conversations. Do you have fun with this person? Do they make you laugh? Or how, you know, do you feel like crying when you're hanging out with them? Just kind of, you know, fostering that conversation so that they're thinking when they're in situations. Is this a situation that I really want to be in? Are they doing things that I really want to be known for doing? Because I tell my kids all the time, even as, you know, adults, they're adults now, you know, you are who you hang around, whether you want to be or not. You know, I don't make the rules. This is how it happens. If you hang around with people who are up to no good, I sound like my mom, then people assume that you're one of those folks that are up to no good. So you just kind of have to, you know, is that the image that you want for yourself? And think about your goals and think about what you want later in life. And are you setting yourself up to go toward those goals? Because sometimes decisions that we make, you know, as teenagers, can have an effect on what people think about us. Even when you're thinking about, you've got to ask people to write you a recommendation letter, or you've got to ask people to let you do this internship, or, you know, and you've got to have a reputation that makes people want to take a chance on you, because that's what it is. They're taking a chance on you based on a piece of paper, you know, your resume or whatever. And so you have to think about, you know, do you want to have, you know, discipline referrals, you know, that you're going to have to explain, you know, from the office, that kind of thing. So I was just having them to think about the big picture and not just the moment, and that you don't have to put up with people making you feel a way that you don't like to feel.
Yeah. You know, I love that's really cool about asking, like, the way that you're asking them questions. If you ask them questions, you know, as unjudgmentally as possible, if that's even a word, English teacher, chair.
It works.
If you're asking those questions to them and just kind of leaving it there, I never thought about that, but that might be something like they're on the playground and maybe those questions are going through their head that they might not have otherwise been contemplating because they've got these, you know, little brains that are still developing. So they're sitting there and they're like, huh, does this make me feel good? Maybe not. And they're starting to like actually contemplate that. I think that's, I mean, I want to take that on as well. You know, these are real life skills. Okay, I also have to ask.
For adults, adult friendships too, you know?
Yeah, totally. Totally. We do get clouded by, oh, but there's history or, you know, it can get weird.
So and you mom about, friends. Like, if you think about your mom friends, if you're around a mom that's, you know, everything she does is perfect all the time and she makes you feel inferior, I don't know if I want to hang out with that mom. I want my friends to say, hey, I had that happen too. Or, hey, I'm trying to figure that out too. Or whatever, you know?
Yes. Yeah. My kid only ate things that were white yesterday, like all day, or haven't had a green thing in a week. Great. So you talked about the you are who you hang out with. I have to ask, because you were in the education space for so long. Have you noticed, and I know that you keep in touch with people, have you noticed that people who were, okay, this is maybe a mean question, but the people who were kind of the bad apples or hung out and weren't great back then, like, is there rehabilitation? Like, could
there
they grow?
There is. Okay. And there are lots of great stories. And yes, I have been invited to weddings of kids that I never thought and never thought would get married and get serious about life. And they are so proud to come, you know, tell me. I have, you know, some that have gone on and had military careers and done things, and they'll invite me to, you know, ceremonies and baby showers and all of these different things, or they can't wait to tell me about their new job. And you know, I have kids who've become teachers, and I'm like, I would never have thought that you would have been a teacher, but they're great teachers. I actually worked in the same school district as one of my former students. So yes, absolutely. Aww. And that's okay. Important to note. And I'm glad you asked that question. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
I mean,
time
to
turn
no
your
one,
life around.
There's nobody in particular I'm thinking of, but I'm like, oh no, what if your kid ends up hanging out with the bad apple? Does that mean your kids become the bad apple, or does that mean those kids?
And it's what's like, nice no. is when they know it. And they'll say things. I've had students to apologize even for, I know I was horrible in your class and I'm so sorry for that. I'm different now. I'm like, I don't hold grudges on a kid, you know? So, but yes, it's always nice when they figure it out on their own.
Yeah, you're like, okay, I'll cross you off the grudge list. You're off the list.
For sure.
Oh, and it's so sweet that people invite you to their weddings and showers. Oh,
yes.
My heart's
yes.
exploding. That is the cutest yes. thing I've
my
ever
husband
heard.
And he was just talking the other day about how he used to not be able to even go into like the neighborhood grocery store without people being like, you're Miss Fluker's husband. He was like, yeah, I'm not famous anymore since you're not teaching. I don't know any of the kids in the school now because I've been out for so long. Thinking about that the other day, too. It's been almost 10 years since I've been in a classroom, since I was a classroom teacher. So I don't
teaching
have my
in other
people
ways.
Anymore.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. And you mentioned your husband. Can we go there for a second? What
sure.
is it like to go through the ages and stages of child rearing and have such a, it sounds like you have a wonderful partnership and with your husband, and how do you evolve in your relationship while your children are becoming such different humans along the way? You know, there's all the different complexities.
Yeah, that's interesting, and something that I'll say, you know, as we were parenting, as they were growing up, certainly had our roles. Like, I'm definitely the go-to parent when the kids have something that they need to talk about. And that's because I'm a little calmer, I'm a little bit more, I have the ability to hold back on the direction we're giving them. So they generally come to me, like, we have certain things that they know, like, this is probably a dad question, this is probably a mom question. So we figure that out. That's great. We both, though, have been very, very involved in being good parents and being supportive parents. Like, we've been a team, and we have really poured everything that we have into making sure that our kids feel loved and feel supportive. That's kind of, you know, teamwork. That's, we knew from the start that that's what we wanted. But I will tell you the thing, when my kids left, when my baby girl, she said a baby girl, she's about to be 21 on Saturday. But when she left, it took us, one of the things that we had to do was kind of, you know, when we were home together, just the two of us, it was very odd because we had both, like I said, we had put everything that we had into the kids. We didn't focus on each other probably as much as we should. Definitely we were all together, and we definitely, you know, were a family, but it was the four of us. Like, everybody, my neighbors laugh. We go to the grocery store. It's all four of us. It's Team Fluker all the time, everywhere. So it was a little bit different. We really had to sit down and just kind of reevaluate. And when I say reevaluate, it's like, what do we like to do? What do we like to do? Because our lives have been bombarded. And that's not the word I want to use, because it's not a bad thing. Because again, we knew that's what we wanted. We wanted to make sure that the kids knew, hey, we've got you. We're going to be there for you. But we really had to kind of rethink and relook at and revisit what we like to do together, you know, and just, you know, that's been interesting, but it's been fun, you know. So we have all these dates that we're doing so that we can, you know, see what it is that we like doing. The kids laugh. They're like, oh, you're on your date night again. Are you doing this? Or why are you still gone? Or what are you doing? When did y'all start liking doing that? You know, it's been fun. Another interesting thing about my husband and I, we have known each other since we were 8. Here's all I think I was 8. He was 9 when we were trying to figure out how long we've known each other. I know. And then we became girlfriend boyfriend when I was 15. So we've been together forever and we have grown and evolved together. And it's just been real interesting. We look back and we sell each other. In addition to raising our kids, we're kind of raising each other at the same time. So yeah, it's been interesting. It's been great. We've been married almost 24 years. So
congratulations. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My goodness. And is it funny? So I know you had such a close relationship with your parents, and I'm so sorry for your loss. I can't imagine how hard that must have been.
But yeah.
Is it funny to think back on when they would have first known him? Because they've known him since you were little.
Oh, they've known him. They've known him before he was born, because our families have known each other forever. Yeah.
And so when you guys were like, hey, we're going to start dating, were they like, yes, we're into this? And were they like, oh, no.
Well, my dad is going to be that kind of like, no, you don't want your baby girl dating anybody. But, you know, if you've got to date somebody, he's a good one to date, I guess, you know.
Oh my gosh, that's the cutest thing. You're like, all right, that fluker kid, he can
stay. Yeah, I guess. He won't leave us alone. He won't stop coming over, I guess. We'll...
Oh my God, that's so cute. Oh, I love that. Well, that's really cool. It's cool to know that there's, I don't know, what I'm getting from this conversation is there is so much to look forward to. I think we focus on the anxieties around the future and what's to come and what's going to happen and what if this, what if that, blah, blah, blah. But you're making me realize, like, kind of get excited for the elementary stages and the high school and the
And it's
the
challenging.
Empty
nesting. Yeah, don't let me. I want to make sure that I'm being very clear about that. It is challenging.
Yeah.
And it looks different at every phase. And I don't think there's anything that you can necessarily do to prepare, because you don't know what those external factors are going to be. Like I said, you can control what's in your house and what you're exposing your kids to, but you can't control when a kid says the tooth fairy isn't real and when that happens. So sometimes you have to have conversations before you were planning to have conversations, or you can't control when someone is going to call them an ugly name, or they're going to say something, you know, offensive to them. And, you know, you can't control when or how, if they get picked for this certain team that, you know, they had their heart set for. Like, you just don't get to decide how that all works. And so you have to kind of be prepared for whatever.
Yeah.
And there is no book and no nothing I can say to get you ready, just to be ready. You know, I tell people, just be ready for whatever and control yourself and how to respond, so that they know that everything's the work. You know, they need you. You just need to be ready to respond the way that you need to.
And
so that you can teach them how to handle when something similar happens or whatever. So
yeah, it's the responsibility for your own personal self-development and self-care, and like being right for you first, so that you can then show up in those situations with a flexible mind, with sound advice, and so that you're showing up to the drive-thru person being kind and not being belligerent, you know, in any way.
Absolutely.
I think those are, it's just a great solid advice, but that's a great application. Do you think that schools, I also have to ask this, because we're about to do enrollments in a couple of years for kindergarten and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that, oh, this school has a higher rating here, and then there's this school, and this one hasn't had a fresh coat of paint in a couple of years, and all these funny things. In your experience, you've traveled to tons of different schools too with your ed tech company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does it really matter?
It does. Now, I won't say that it doesn't. It does. I don't think that it has anything to do with what the building looks like. I think getting to know the administrator, leader in that building, getting to know teachers, I think that's most important, because you want a teacher who cares, who's going to be fair, who's going to push your child to grow and to do right and to be kind. You know, you want to make sure that it's a, you know, carrying over from what you're teaching them at home. So I do think that it's important for parents to get to know their teachers and do that on the front end. It's so important, so that when you're having a conversation with your, you know, the first time that there's a conflict or there's something wrong, that's not the first time that you're meeting that teacher.
Mm.
I tell, you know, parents, communicate early, like go there for the open house, you know, and introduce yourself and talk about your expectations. And, you know, I think you're well within your rights to do that. And I think that if you don't feel like the classroom that your child is in is what you had hoped, I think that talking to the leadership is definitely important, because you know, you pay taxes for the school that your kids go to, or if you're going to a private school, you pay for, you know, that tuition. Uh-huh. So I definitely think you have the right to be able to say something. But yes, it's important because if you think about it, your kid is going to be with your teacher more than they're going to be with you at that time. You know?
Yes. It's
the truth.
Yes. Yeah, that's why people slip up and call their teachers mom or dad.
Oh, all the time, right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. That's it. Yeah, I like that a lot. So like, get to know the teachers. What point do you think is important for a parent to intervene, if at all? You know, like, I imagine there's some people who get involved too much. Like, something was said to a kid on the playground and they're coming at the teacher and saying, you need to reprimand this child. Like, what is the, I don't know, it would be different for everybody, but what's the appropriate...
You know, because you do have to be careful because you don't want them to think that you're going to swoop in and save them from every, you know, everything. And you also don't want to, the teacher to think that you don't trust their ability to run their classroom or to, you know, their, you don't want to question their, you know, care for your child. You really want to be careful with that. But I also think that it's your child. And if you're uncomfortable, then you should be able to say something.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's an appropriate time. You as a mom, you feel it. You know, you feel when, okay, I've let this go on. I wouldn't let it go on. Like, if it's the beginning of the school year, I wouldn't let it be Christmas before I said something. But, you know, you also don't have to kind of fly in on that first time. You know, you can always send a quick email and just, hey, I just, you know, this is how the situation was explained to me. Just wanted to get your side. And I think that's important, too, so that the kid knows that you're not just going to take the kid's word, the teacher knows that you're not just taking the kid's word, you know, keeping that communication open so that everybody knows that, hey, my students knew that I'm calling mama. If you don't bring your homework, you know, three times, I'm going to email mom, I'm going to call. They knew it. They knew it. And so I think that once they know that you're on the same team, that they're less likely to try to be manipulative or, you know, anything like that. So I just think, you know, communicating, showing up, supporting the teacher, but also having your kids back too. So I think it's important that they know that you're not on either person's side. I mean, obviously it's your kid again, but, you know, we're all a team and we're all working together to help you to be the best person that you can be.
Yes. Oh, well said. Have you done a blog post about that? I feel like that's a good one.
If I haven't, I will.
Old Chara, thank you so much. You've been such a wealth of resources and inspiration, and I just feel comforted, and I do feel excited about what's to come. And thank you for imparting your wisdom and experience on everybody. Where can everybody find you? Your travel blogging, your blogging on all things parenting and empty nesting and all that.
Yes, my blog is What Chara Thinks. It's my first name, just whatcharathinks.com. And I'm also on Instagram at Cherith Fluker. And I have a Facebook page, What Cherith Thinks as well. So
wonderful. Wow. I have a feeling you'll be getting some
follows. And you can find me on Motherly right now and in Chicken Soup for the Soul. So I'm excited about that.
Oh my, I used to love Chicken Soup for the Soul when I was younger. I used to read the books.
Yeah.
I think they had a kids one and you could like read the stories about
teens,
other kids.
For kids. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Okay. We will put both links to Chicken Soup and Motherly in the show notes as well so people can go find those resources.
Sounds great.
Chara, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure chatting with
you. Thank you. I hope you have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
All right.
Thank you for listening. You can access all resources mentioned in this episode via my website, andreabarr.com/podcast. And let's chat on Instagram. I'm at Andrea Barr Coaching and I reply to every DM I get. If you loved this episode, don't forget to quickly hit that button on your podcast app to give me a 5-star rating and drop in a review. It would truly mean the world. And if you're like me and love to share things that you love, send this episode to a friend who you think would appreciate this topic. Thanks again for listening, and I'll chat with you next week.